It occurred to me, said Archibald, the next time both of us were awake. I don't think we have anything like this.
We, meaning?
The modern post-reconstitution mathic world.
And this, meaning?
He held up his hands and gazed about in an are-you-blind sort of gesture. We were standing next to a table in an alcove on the ground floor, open to the cloister on one side. The floor of the cloister itself was covered with thousands of identical horn-shaped nine-sided tiles that had been joined together with machine-tool precision into a non-repeating double spiral pattern that was giving me motion sickness just looking at it. I turned my back on this and looked at a loaf of bread that was resting on the table. This was so fresh that steam was gushing out of the end. Archibald, an infamous heel filcher, had already got to it. The loaf had been made by braiding several ropes of dough together in a non-trivial pattern that, I feared, had deep, not theoretical significance and was named after some Elkhuzgian saint.
I just don't think we have anything this ancient, this, well, fantastic,
Archibald continued through a crunchy mouthful of bread heel.
There's more than one way to be inviolate, I guess, I said, tearing off a hunk of bread and sitting down at the table, which inevitably was ancient and covered with precision-cut tiles of diverse exotic woods. You can simply stop being a math.
And thereby become exempt from sacks.
Exactly.
But what kind of entity owns something for 4,000 years?
That's what I kept asking myself on Ekba.
Ah, so you have a head start on me, Fra Erasmus.
I guess you could think of it that way.
What conclusion have you reached?
I stalled for a while by chewing the bread, which was possibly the best I'd ever had.
That I don't care, I finally said. I don't need to know the bylaws, the org chart, the financial statements, the tedious history of the lineage.
Archibald was horrified.
But how can you not be fascinated by—
I am fascinated, I insisted. That's the problem. I am suffering from fascination burnout. Of all the things that are fascinating, I have to choose just one or two.
Here's a candidate,
announced Saman, who had crossed into the cloister from an adjoining court where, I inferred, reticulum access was to be had. He sat down next to me and laid his jijaw on the table. The screen was covered with the calculations I had noticed him doing on the plane.
Chronology,
he said.
According to Jules, the amount of time that has passed since the Daban Ernud embarked on his first intercosmic journey is 885.5 years.
Whose years?
Jessery asked, skittering down the stairs from his cell, homing in on the smell of the bread. He closed with it like a wrestler and ripped off a hunk.
That, of course, is the whole question, Saman said, with a grin.
Archibald noticed a pitcher of water on a sideboard and began pouring it out into earthenware tumblers incised with geometric patterns.
If Ernud years are anything like ours, that is a long time, I said.
Thank you, Fra Archibald.
The Ernudans, and later the Troans, wandered for a long time between advents. Jules thinks it explains why they are a little tetchy.
Can we get a conversion factor? Jessery said, in a tone that said, I'll be damned if I let this conversation wander.
That's what I've been working on, said Saman,
nodding thanks to Archibald. He took a draught of water. Elkhazg was in a climate that sucked the moisture out of you.
Problem is, Jules is a linguist, hasn't paid a lot of attention to this. Knows the timeline in Ernud years, which is their standard unit up there, but not the conversion factor to Arbor years. Anyway, I was able to back it out from some clues.
What clues? Jessery demanded.
While the rest of us were evacuating Tredegar, a unit of Veilers assaulted the quarters of the so-called Matarites and captured a lot of documents and syndevs before the Ernud Trogais could destroy them. My brethren are still virtualizing the syndevs. Never mind. But some of the documents have timestamps in Ernud units, which can be matched against recent events on our calendar.
Wait a moment, please. How can we even read a document in Ernudan?
Archibald asked, sitting down and helping himself to the other heel.
We can't. But a cryptanalyst can easily see that many of the documents have the same format. which includes a string of characters readily decipherable as a timestamp. And they have a special phonetic alphabet for transliterating proper names. They haul it out and dust it off whenever they encounter a new planet. This, too, is elementary to decipher. So if we see a document that has the phonetic transcription of Jessery and of his Loctor at the plenary, we can infer it must be a report of the plenary I participated in after I came back from space, Jessery said. And we know the ARB date of that event. Very well. I agree that such givens would enable you to begin estimating a conversion factor relating Arbran to Ernewdon years.
Yes,
said Saman.
And there is still some error margin, but I believe that in Arbran years, the Ernewdons began their intercosmic journey 910 years ago, plus or minus 20.
Somewhere between 890 and 930 years ago, I translated. But that was the limit of my arithmetical powers so early in the morning. Saman was glaring fiercely into my eyes, willing me to wake up a little faster, to go the next step. But mere calculation was not my strong suit, especially when I had an audience.
Between 2760 and 2800 AR,
said a new voice. Leo, coming across the cloister with Jules Verne Durand. These two did not look as if they had only just gotten up. I guessed Leo had been pumping the Lateran for information.
Yes, Saman said. The time of the third sack.
One of Magnath Forrell's staff came out with a huge bowl of peeled and cut-up fruit and began ladling it into bowls which we passed around.